littlepodcast.com is gone. Like, it gone.
Yep. Yep.
It gone.
It,
so,
it has ceased to be. It has shuffled off the mortal coil and joined the choir invisibule.
It is an X.com!
Yes, it is an X.com.
Oh, and for those who are curious, I'm sure you weren't, I just got an alert saying that Google Hangouts for Air is going away on August 1st. So,
yay.
This will probably be our last time using it. So either we have to figure out YouTube.com/webcam or Discord or the Skype NDI thing or something.
Or we just retire. So when do you want to start the podcast? Fairly
yeah,
soon?
let's get proper started.
Okay, just a second.
Now that we've explained the sausage making, and apparently it was Google that stole the quiche.
This week on the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, we have a special live episode for our Patreon supporters. Pile of Shame in Future Retro, including Final Fantasy games on cartridge for Nintendo Switch. Also, the return of the Denji Mail segment where we answer your questions about video games and more. Oh, please, one more continue.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Vink.
Ah, funny seeing you here on something we've been setting up for 30 minutes.
Has it only been 30? It feels more like 49.
It does. It does feel like 49 minutes. But here we are, Famicom Dojo live. And remember, we're better taped.
Always better taped. Yes, we are live on YouTube. Yep. We decided to start doing this once in a while. And this special occasion is brought to you by our wonderful patrons who got us past our goal.
Yes.
To do a live thank you show. And the topic was chosen by them.
By our patrons. Our wonderful, wonderful patrons.
So what are we talking about today, Vink?
We are talking about the first ever import games we played. Or beat. I think the word is beat.
I've played so many.
Played a lot.
Beat is a much smaller proportion for me. Much, much smaller.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to rank in with less than 5% of the imports I own are ones that I've beat. Wow, that's kind of eye-opening. Yeah. I don't know if I can...
How many games that you own, period, have you beaten?
How many games... I mean, I own thousands of games, and I've beat hundreds of games. So... Mm. I mean, there's a lot of games that I've played a lot, and there's a lot of games, especially the retro games, that aren't so much a game you play to beat so much as get a high score. Like, is it possible to beat Galaga? Someone's gonna write in. Of course, it's possible. Haven't you beat it? if so, yeah. I have not.
It's like a baby's toy. Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though, right? Like you, because you sold a bunch of your games, but you bought them again in Japan.
Yes.
So does that make them import games anymore? Since you never took them anywhere?
Oh, you know what? If that's the case, and it's just my U.S. games that are import games at this point, then I have a pretty high beat ratio because I mostly import RPGs, and most RPGs that I start, I do wind up finishing eventually.
Okay.
Beating Galaga involves getting to the kill screen. No, I haven't beat Galaga. Have you beat Pac-Man?
Have you beat Donkey Kong?
Have you beat Donkey Kong? Of course I have. I got through all three stages.
I have some news for you about that.
I know. I haven't beat the new game plus, but I've totally beat Donkey Kong.
Sure.
I beat Pac-Man too. I ate all the dots on the screen.
God.
But I haven't beat the new game plus.
Welcome to the show, everyone. So all right, before we dive in into our respective games,
yep.
Little bit more housekeeping. People who are watching on YouTube haven't seen or heard this, or maybe they missed the announcement on Friday, but okay. We're now officially part of the little... Oh, God, I goofed that. We're now officially part of the Nerd and Tie.
Oh, my gosh, I'm underdressed.
Oh, shoot, hold on.
I know, they're a podcast with they're a podcast and a website with a dress code.
Yes, oh, goodness, hold on. This is taking way too long, and there's cords wrapped all the way around this.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to get out of this
audio
room
right now.
I'm not even going to try to get out of this room.
Oh, Lord, hold on. I gotta. It's so close. I've gone this far. I can't turn back now. That is called the sunk cost fallacy, everyone.
Yes.
And I'm going to have to untie the tie, which I have not untied in the last 3 years.
All right. You know, I don't know if this is, Lord, if this is worth the effort.
It is now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yes. All right. You've definitely got sunk cost.
This is
going
my,
here.
This is my, Nerd and Tie Expo tie.
Oh,
That is signed by, Tiffany Grant, AKA Asuka, and, Helena. How does she sign it?
Whoa.
Does it say stale there? Well,
that's neat. Who else signed your tie?
Linkara.
Oh, wow.
Who was also a guest.
I have gone this long in my life and I have no signatures on any of my ties.
So we, the four of us were guests at that particular convention.
Yep.
So I'm very proud to be, among their numbers.
Wow.
Also got to meet, Linkara's fiance and now wife.
Cool.
Vega, who you should totally totes follow on the Twitters. She's got some good stuff.
Now that we're part of the Nerd and Tie Network, are we able to make our own swag ties? Because I would totally get a yellow tie with a red Famicom Dojo logo signed by myself.
Or we could get a red tie with a yellow Famicom Dojo. You know what? We should get both and then wear each one for the appropriate occasion.
One could be it's like Pokemon. You've got two different versions that you gotta collect.
Yes, red and yellow are also appropriate colors.
That's yes, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and apparently people will buy that tie. I don't know how much it costs to make a tie. I certainly have no idea how much it would cost to embroider a tie.
Well, I mean, we're not going to embroider. Look at, I mean, definitely people would buy this tie.
I want an embroidered tie now.
Yeah. The fact that we don't
have it. It's going to happen.
You can trade them. You can wear both of them at once.
Mm-hmm. I did a full Windsor for those who were watching. I decided to go full Windsor.
Okay.
This one.
Well, well done. I am still with just my Imari Tones t-shirt, but that's okay, I guess.
So for those who are curious, nothing really changes. Little Podcast has technically been defunct for a number of years now.
Yeah.
And we just kept it going. When Rob Matsushita's show, 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie, folded.
Yep.
That was pretty much it. I think Born in the 80s was still going.
It might still be going. I don't know.
It might still be going.
Yeah.
But Trey's like, hey, you want to join a growing podcast network? And to be fair, while they have three shows, it's all of them. So Trey and Gen and Nick.
Yep.
But, you know, having you know, the token cis people in the network is very important for them. And I feel proud
to bring up their diversity a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I guess, well, you got the tie. I brought, you know what? I don't have a tie today, but I brought the nerd and like, I really brought the nerd hard. So we should be good.
I mean, look at that room. That den of shame says it all.
Oh,
I mean, it's
goodness.
Not nearly as shameful as what you see behind me here. Actually, I was working on the wall of shame, which is in the pile of shame intro, adding new things to it. And I'm running out of room. That's all I got to say.
You're running out of room. I am in a smallish closet right now.
Fair enough. I have a basement that's the size of maybe half of my first floor. So I have a little bit of room.
Unfair.
But a leak. So the leak's got to be avoided. Okay. So We'll take a little break, and the audio people will hear the Patreon thing. And you'll hear a version of it, too.
Oh.
So let's just slide right into it.
I am looking forward to this.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Did you know that you can give to the Famicom Dojo Patreon? We have a Patreon page, and have had it since about June 1st, where we blew through our first goal that we thought would take months to reach. And it's because of all you awesome people that we have this great show today and this great topic. But if you too would like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/FamicomDojo or check the link in the show notes and give as little as a dollar. It's better than an ad. It's called Better Than an Ad. And it's definitely more than we would get from advertising from you or anyone
yep.
in the span of a month. Actually, I've started removing some of the in-between ads and stuff from the existing videos because they're kind of annoying and we don't need them anymore.
Yep.
So thank you, everyone. This is the part where we need to thank our actual patrons who have given. So new patron, Alberto Vera, who's giving at the You Might Get a T-Shirt level. And that one, for 3 months in a row, will get you a t-shirt. So if you can't do it continuously or, you know, yep. downgrade before that, then you don't get the t-shirt. So that's why it's might.
I love yeah. that. I love that.
So, and then we have four, count them, four Dojo Disciples. Tomorrow we'll have a fifth, for those who are curious, but, it's taking forever to load this. It's really ruining my flow here. So in alphabetical order, I apologize. It's not pledge order. Ooh, can I do pledge order? Ooh, I'm going to try and do it pledge order.
Okay.
Oh, I can't because three of them were on the same day. okay. Earl Grey the Third, Alana Dunnitz. I got it right that time.
Nice.
Psycho Lavos, a.k.a. Tristan. Call me Tristan, he says to us.
Yep.
And Colin Swinburne, which apparently I've pronounced that correctly as well.
Nice.
Thank you, Colin. Thank you all five of you.
Yep.
And then everyone we didn't mention. It's just that's just the way that the Patreon categories are set up. I can't believe that we hit the $25 goal already.
We were expecting to get there in about a few months, yeah.
There was like people like $1, $2, you know, maybe $2 if yeah. we're lucky. And no, but most of you are giving at $5 or more right now, and that's incredible. I did not expect that.
Thank you so much. Like that just blows us away.
So, all right, I guess without further ado then, let's get on with the show.
Okay, topic time. Oh, if you would like to become a sponsor of us for Patreon, why don't you throw that link up? I mean, of course, you can go to Patreon and you can type
Famicom.
I'm going to
throw it up, all right.
Yeah. Sean, please throw up in the chat. Wait, all right. No, wait.
Did you see Game Dave's Baldur's Gate 3? Review like he reviewed the trailer.
Nope, but 4,000 other people did. Oh, Game Dave, we love you. We're just really jealous. Don't worry.
Oh God,
we love you though. Like Game Dave deserves everything because he's such a great guy. But we're great guys too.
I've heard that. He actually dropped into the Pile of Shame stream, and I missed it, the last one.
Oh,
the
really?
The Toads one. Yeah. And you know, after he said hello, he didn't say anything after that. But, yeah, I feel bad, because I reviewed the stream at the end, and I'm like, oh, I missed Dave!
It appears that during this stream right now, we have encouraged two additional people to become Patreons. So, wow. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Elizabeth Clark and Satoshi Matrix.
Yep.
This isn't your official announcement. You'll get one for the next podcast, the next video.
Yep.
That's the other thing too, is that you get mentioned in the podcast, you get mentioned in the video yep. at certain levels, and you'll be re-mentioned as long as you're given.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah. We'll be adding more stuff to these existing tiers
yep.
Soon. And you know, I was gonna say wait for the Kickstarter, but I'm not going to say no now. In fact, the more people give now, the less we'll have to do for a Kickstarter later.
The Patreon goes well enough, we'll get those videos printed without ever doing a Kickstarter, because Kickstarters have been a little hit or miss lately, the ones I've been donating to. So.
Yeah. I mean, we would get ours out.
Oh, that definitely. That wouldn't be a problem. Definitely.
It'd be reaching our goal.
You can trust us.
I trust us.
I do trust us. For those who just became Patreons, thank you very much, and I will get you your custom Discord tags soon. Right after this podcast.
Sweet.
Oh, speaking of which, we have a Discord, if anybody
yes.
needs.
Yeah. Do you want to drop that in the chat, or should we throw those out?
Yeah, I'll drop it in the chat while you're getting your other stuff ready.
Okay.
Do, do, do.
I mean, yeah, guys. Seriously, it's been wild. It's been a wild month and a half
since we
talked about setting up the Discord and getting Patreon set up.
By the way, those of you who are part of our Discord already, you are giving us so much inspiration to keep doing these. Last week I wasn't planning to do any stream, but people were like, oh, it's not the same. It's not a weekend without a stream. And it made me so happy that it's, you know, sometimes you just need a little kick to inspire you to keep going. And you guys have been just awesome. So thank you so much.
Did you end up doing one this weekend? I didn't think so.
I didn't because of this stream. But,
oh, okay.
Because
you're here.
But if we weren't doing this one, I would have streamed last night.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, enough self-congratulation.
Okay.
let's get on with it.
All right, let's go ahead.
Vink, what was the first import game that you ever beat?
The first one, you know, I had to actually think about this because there were definitely ones that I imported before this game. But the first all Japanese like exclusive game that I beat is Tenchi Muyo. I'm holding
Tenchi Muyo.
If for anybody watching the stream, I'm holding it right now. But it's a nice orange looking box, and it is an SRPG, which is probably how I was able to beat it without actually understanding Japanese at the time. But I mean, I was a big Tenchi Muyo fan already, and that's why I imported it, and I figured it out purely from trial and error. There was no fan translation at the time. GameFAQs didn't have any walkthrough about it. Like, I imported it, where did I even get it from? Not Lixang. I don't think they even existed yet. I don't even remember where I imported it from. Probably just an eBay seller, but I got it as a cartridge only game, and then when I moved to Japan, it was one of the first games that I bought from a store, and I got myself a nice copy of it. You can't really see much from the case, but it's
but it plays like if it's the one I'm thinking of, it plays like Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah,
right?
It does. And all of the you know, just different commands, whatever are in kanji. But once you figure them out, once you figure out what they do, and it was just from trial and error, it's not that hard of a game, and I was able to beat it. And because I'm familiar with the characters, I was able to kind of understand what was going on through the cutscenes, even though I couldn't read everything. I think that's the thing. If you're a fan of a series, you can kind of brute force your way through import games.
That's true, especially ones like this where it's like press A to win.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a great game, and I still recommend it to... I don't know if I'd recommend it to someone who's not familiar with Tenchi Muyo, but it's definitely a game that's beatable without knowing Japanese, because, as I said, this is before I ever took even one Japanese class. I think I knew konnichiwa and karaoke, and I pronounced it exactly that way, so...
Oh, no. It's okay. We forgive you.
But I also, around that time, I imported Pokemon Green for my brother, which I didn't know at the time was essentially just Pokemon Blue.
Oh, no. And in Japan. Ew, boy.
Yeah. But yeah, but gosh, what were other early games that I imported? I imported Neon Genesis Evangelion for the N64. That was one of the that's probably one of the first 10 games I beat. I didn't import it quite as early as the Tenchi Muyo one. The first game of length which I had to use a walkthrough guide for was the Sakura Taisen series. And you knew that I was into those even back when I was in the United States, because I would try to get people to come over and play them with me with a walkthrough, but no one was ever that interested.
Yeah, it's weird though, right? Because I went to Japan in 2003 after you went in 2001.
Yeah.
And I grabbed a whole bunch of games, including those ones. I even have a Sakura Taisen PS1 memory card that to put all my import stuff and save it on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was aware, and that just reminds me of how many Saturn and Dreamcast, mostly Saturn games actually.
Yeah.
That I got at the time and never really played, and it's been 16 years.
No. What was the first one that you ever beat, though? I'm getting back to our question.
So technically it was the same game. So when I was a young man becoming an adult, there was this little thing called Cartoon Network, and that still exists, but what doesn't exist anymore is Toonami. And Toonami had a couple of shows that promoted. First, it had Gundam Wing, and that got me real into Gundam and made me think that it was super deep and super political. And that is, I don't feel that way anymore, but I still have a soft spot in my heart for Gundam Wing. But after they pulled everyone in with Gundam Wing, they were advertising Tenchi Muyo.
Okay.
And I decided that I loved this show.
Yeah.
It for those who haven't seen it or heard of it, it's basically a Magical Boy series cross harem anime.
I guess you could say that.
It's a little softer than that. It's not too bad. But the original show that they showed was the OVAs.
Yeah. Tenchi Muyo Ryoken.
I didn't realize it at the time. Yeah. So, and that's still my favorite version. It's still my favorite anime version of the whole story, because they went through that, they went through Universe, they went through Tenchi in Tokyo.
Yep.
And yeah.
Universe is my favorite, probably because I saw it first. Mm. And it's also, I think this, it tells a
they
more...
They actually finished the story.
Yeah, it tells a more complete story. I mean, they've done things with the OAV, OVA series was so spread around, it was it was hard. But by the way, I watched Tenchi Universe recently with my kids. It's still, it holds up pretty well. They enjoyed it.
I believe it.
They enjoyed it.
I believe it.
But
so while I believe it's a more rounded show, Universe, I like the originals the most, if for no other reason than Ryoko and Tenchi's relationship, which is different in every show.
Yes.
But that's the one that gets me the most.
Oh, okay.
That's the one that I enjoy the most. And everything else is just unimportant and kind of falls away.
Interesting.
And in Universe, I feel like every character is like an more two-dimensional version of themselves. I don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But okay. So other than the Tenchi Muyo game though, what else have you beat from early importing?
Oh, sure. Sorry. Let me finish that thought first.
Oh, go ahead.
Coming
go
to
ahead.
A point. So I went out and I found this game as emulated. Because it was like 1999,
okay,
2000, somewhere around there, and then I played and beat it. So that's technically the first import game. But I didn't really import it. Does it really count? I don't think that counts.
That does not count. Okay,
it kind of counts. Okay, So like I said, I was in Japan 2003. Brought a whole bunch of games back. Didn't beat any of them. Probably played most of them. So what finally got me was this fella right here. How do I start over and show the title screen? Wow, I didn't really work. Anyway, Os Tatakai Owen Don was the first game that I ever beat. And because you don't have to like know a lot.
Yeah.
The Japanese is limited to comics and stuff, and you know some of the menu controls and whatnot. But it's full of J-pop, which I was listening to already.
Okay.
Like, in addition to, like, the games I brought back a ton of CDs.
Yeah.
And I think The Brilliant Green still some of my favorite stuff.
Brilliant Green is so good. I love their song, I'm a Player in TV Games.
See? We have taste.
We do. We have some kind of taste, yes.
So beating Elite Beat Agents.
Yeah.
Elite Beat Agents. Oh God, that's the American adaptation. Yep. It's not even like. It's more of like a remake.
Yeah, kind of.
A more American theme. It's kind of a sequel.
And there is
an Elite Beat Agents. God, I'm gonna say it. There's an Owen Don 2 as well.
Yep. Yeah. You just got that from me like this year, right?
Yes. I actually lost my copies of all three of those games, along with my DS in 2007. It was the year that I was at GeekCon, and both Doug Walker, that guy with the glasses, and Linkara were there. As a matter of fact, Daishokan, not GeekCon. It was Daishokan.
Okay.
In 2007. And at some point during the day, I just put it down and never picked it up again, and I never got that stuff back.
Yep.
Which includes the DS that I got in Japan that I loved so much, and I could never find a suitable replacement. But anyway, beating Owen Don doesn't mean the end of Owen Don, because there are more difficult
modes. There's all kinds. Did you unlock everyone in the end?
I believe yes. I believe I at least unlocked everyone. I don't know if I beat the hardest setting, but I at least unlocked everything.
Okay.
So I beat that. Requires beating the game up to three times if you do the simple, easy version first, which is not the default. I think I went through that whole thing anyway.
Is it possible that Doug Walker stole your games?
I mean, I didn't want to say it out loud, but
all right. Hey, you want to know how old Elite Beat Agents is?
I don't, but tell me.
I bought my copy at Circuit City.
Oh God! I bought my TV at Circuit City. You can kind of see it if you look in the corner, far corner. I've had a TV since 2007.
Okay, for those outside of the U.S., Circuit City was a retail outlet that's been gone for a very long time now.
Very long time. I think the one in Madison where I bought this from, is still Upon America.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure. They don't really carry video game stuff. I've looked.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. But that was my first. It was my favorite. I never actually got around to beating Elite Beat Agents 2, I don't think. The songs just weren't the same. And then I lost it. So, you know, it's been a few years. So it's, you know, 12 years later, I'm going to get back into the swing of things.
Sean, did you ever get into the Rhythm Tengoku series?
Let me hold them
up so people can see.
Did I get a copy from you once?
You might have. I mean, I think the DS one was released in the US, but the original Game Boy Advance one was not.
Okay.
So.
And there's like you know, other things like Daigasa Band Brothers and all that stuff. And, you know, the kinds of games that led up to this is like Parappa the Rapper.
Yep.
They were all, you know, we had played Samba de Amigo.
Yep.
In the college dorm lobby. Like,
oh yeah, you just probably beat Samba 2000 before you beat Owen Don, right?
Do you really beat Samba though? I mean, you unlock a lot of things. It's not really a game you beat.
I find that I feel the thrill of victory every time I play it. So.
Yes. Well, that gave me a lot to think about.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Darn it.
But anyway, do you want to continue with this or should we move on?
Well, how about let's throw it out to everyone else.
Sure.
We'll talk to you, everyone who's in the stream, but then, you know, anyone who's listening to the audio version can send us in their comments. Like, what was your first import game that you beat?
Yeah.
I would love to hear that. Yeah. Trey wants us to know that Toonami still exists, or it exists again, and they're about to start showing Gundam Origins, probably the most political Gundam show there is.
Yep.
So I stand corrected. And then PhilosophyTube also has a hilarious video about Tenshin Muyo that I should watch, so I'm asking him to post the link. Colin Swinmore wants to say Doug Walker definitely stole my games. I am not saying that,
no,
for the record.
But he's also not saying that.
So, do we have any games on our pile of shame or future retro this week? Because I got one.
Let's see.
Future Retro is a segment where we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we've played for the first time, or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and try to convince each other if we should.
Or not.
You know what, I want to mention a game that I've been playing. I'll go Pile of Shame before we hit the Future Retro.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's one that's on your pile of shame as well.
Ooh.
It is Final Fantasy X and X-2 Remastered.
Oh, God.
Okay, and I say this because... So I wanted to get the Japanese version, obviously, of it because they're both actually on the cassette. They're both actually on the cart for the Japanese version, whereas yeah, the US version gives you the first one on the cart, and 10.2 is merely a download code, which I think is dirty and gross. But it's on here. It's got Japanese and English on the cart, depending on what your system is set to. And so it's one of the very few games that uses the... It's got neat internal art, too. It's one of the few games that uses the 32-gigabyte cart. I think it's the second one ever. So I'd highly recommend getting the Japanese version if you want to play it. But anyway, so Final Fantasy X-2, and I know it's on your pile of shame because we've talked about this. But
yeah, so I don't want to repeat myself too much, but suffice to say, I played 10... right up until Blitzball, and had way more fun playing Blitzball and leveling up my characters than I did playing Final Fantasy X. So I stopped.
Yeah,
around 2005, I want to say.
I still remember that I was trying to encourage you to buy a Dreamcast rather than a PS2, and you're like, I can't. I have to buy the PS2 because I have to play Final Fantasy X. And I'm like, it's not going to be that good. Shenmue.
Was this specifically for X? Because there were other games like. I don't think that that Katamari was out yet, so that was just a bonus.
Oh no, that Katamari was a ways away. Okay, do the 32-gigabyte cards taste different? should I find out?
Now is the time to find out.
All right.
I just realized that my camera is pointed up way too high.
Let's see. Okay, so here's the cart. They don't really look different. Let's see if they taste different. I bought this secondhand, so I don't know. Someone else might have pre-licked this. If you lick them enough, the stuff goes away. So
I've heard that. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let's give this a try. Nope, they don't taste different. They still taste like bug spray. Oh man, sweet. Do I have water? Oh my. Ugh.
Well, while he's off doing that,
just a moment. Yeah, Sean, take over for a bit.
Oh, good lord. My pile of shame?
Yeah.
I'm just going to plug Pile of Shame Live shamelessly.
Okay, go ahead.
As it were. I've been trying to get things off my pile of shame, and doing a pre-recorded Pile of Shame video is how I would do that. But I would pick specific titles, right? Now I can do it a lot faster, and I can actually get viewer feedback on what they would like next. So there have been three of these so far, one kind of impromptu.
Okay.
The first was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy Infocomet text adventure game, which I actually have beaten, and I wanted to stream though because it was Towel Day on May 25th, and I had to push it to a Monday. Long story. Anyway, we did not finish, unfortunately, but I do want to come back to that one. We later did Battletoads. That was the most recent. And I did not beat it for whoever was asking in the chat. And we did not beat it gaming there, but I at least got to the snakes. I got past the snakes.
Oh yeah,
which was my goal.
I enjoyed watching you fail. I really did enjoy that.
Oh, thank you. I did cheat. I used the Retron 5 because yep. I knew that I would not be able to get through it in time.
Yeah, yeah.
Having not practiced for a while.
I don't know. With Battletoads, I don't even find save states cheating so much.
Right. I also did the Famicom Mini and unboxing because we want to do a proper review of that yet, in our style, of course. But I figured I don't want to really do another unboxing because no one watches those.
I got something to unbox.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. We'll
get to that later.
Okay. But I decided I'll just pop in live and we'll unbox this thing. I've had that thing for a year, so it was technically on my pile of shame. And people loved it, and I didn't expect that, and I had a lot of fun doing it, so that was really nice. And I did find out that it is in some ways superior to the Famicom Online. You can get in your Switch, so that's a little disappointing. So there's reasons to have both, I guess.
Okay.
I guess. So, what do you got for future retro?
Okay, for future, you know what? We talked about this a little earlier, so why don't you actually bring this in?
Oh. Okay. I mean, I was going to pretend like we didn't know we were going to pick the same thing and be like, oh, hey.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. Here. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So my future retro is a little game. I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's called Crypt of the Necrodancer. Mm. You should be, like, surprised. No.
I've been nodding in agreement. Yes. Yes. Go on.
Okay. It's... Gosh, how would I even describe this? It's a top-down rhythm dungeon crawler shooter?
Not even a shooter. It's like a mix of a lot of the games we've been talking about.
Yeah,
it's
not, it would definitely like not a be a
game, but it's laid out like one.
It would definitely not be a shooter because you like set up your shot before the beat. So it's a turn-based gauntlet.
Oh, that's good.
A really awesome soundtrack. Gosh, what? Yeah,
hold me closer, Necrodancer. Thanks, Adam Robinson.
I don't know, but like, it's kind of hard to describe because there's not really many games like it.
Sure. Well, it's a bit like Zelda.
It is a bit like Zelda, interestingly enough.
it's a bit like the 16-bit Zelda and 8-bit Zelda.
So, I guess. And Nintendo must have thought so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened there?
Well, they worked together to make a game called Cadence of Hyrule.
Yep.
Crypt of the Necrodancer. Cadence being the primary first normal mode character in Crypt of the Necrodancer. There are more you can unlock.
Yes.
So, as clearly, I've been playing this game, too, and it is also my future retro.
Yeah.
So I also got it when it was $4. I think Phil told me, because he'd been talking about it a lot, and he reminded me, hey, you have like 1 or 2 days left to buy this. So I bought it and then didn't pick it up until like 2 days ago.
Yep.
And then I played it for 3 hours. Picked it up, couldn't put it down for 3 hours. That's how I'm going to describe that game. I was obsessed until I got it. Well, understood what was going on.
I've heard really good things about that game. And I was always interested to pick it up, but it was kind of one of those more expensive indie titles. Probably worth it, but you know, it's one that I don't like. You know, it's one that I would have liked to demo first. You know.
Right.
See if it was my type of game, but then when it hit $4, which I think that's over now, but I bought it, but I didn't really play it. I think I turned it on to see if it, you know, came on the screen, and that's all I did. But then once I heard you talking about it, I was like, oh, I gotta really get into this. So I was playing it last night, not for quite as long as you, just for a little bit, but I'm definitely going to continue with it. It's super fun. There's a demo on the Japanese eShop. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, well. There's a lot of demos recently that I've been downloading that I haven't tried yet. Yeah.
You know, I feel bad now because, like, if I... I can see that I'm playing it.
Yeah.
If I had been able to get the stream working the way I wanted to, we could have seen us play the game as we were talking. Wouldn't that be a thing?
I mean, we can still play it while we're talking, just individually.
I got to talk so I can see my screen. Yep. I'm going to just move around. Yeah, I see that, and then, like, her heart's in the bottom there, and then... Ooh. Yeah. Anyway, it's crazy that the tunes are catchy. You know, they're like a cross between like dance music and ship tunes.
Yep.
And the game the areas are kind of randomly generated. Like they have the same basic components, but the layouts are kind of different, and the drops are random-ish. Yep. There are spots in the game where you can. You can collect diamonds, and then when you go to the lobby area, you can spend those diamonds on getting better drops, guaranteed frequent stuff. And basically leveling up that way is the way that I beat the first zone.
Okay.
Because I suppose it might be possible to do, but I did not have the skill to do it unless I had a lot of upgrades. Essentially, but that was also the learning curve for me, understanding how the game worked. Yep. And I finally got through there are like four levels, and then there's a boss battle.
Yeah.
So if you haven't gotten through four levels, either by surviving long enough or whatever, then you probably wouldn't get that far.
Yeah.
But even apparently the bosses are random. Like I encountered one once, died right away because I was not prepared to fight one. And then when I got through again, it was a different boss. So,
I mean, I just think it's very, very cool. So, I don't know. I haven't gotten far enough into it to say that. But has it inspired you to buy the Zelda one?
Yeah. Actually, I went and looked up some videos of it because I hadn't really looked before, and I'm like, man, wouldn't it be neat if like the whole disco area that gets overlaid is just like on the Zelda world, and you can still like interact with the Zelda world that way, and apparently that's exactly what this game is. So the art style's been upgraded to more of the 16-bit looking stuff. It was more 8-bit for the original. And I mean, from what it looks like, you can play as Zelda and Cadence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've only seen Link and Cadence as playable characters so far in the videos, but any game where you can play as Zelda
is
a good game.
But, I mean, you know me, though. Like, I will definitely buy that if it's, like, $5. But otherwise, I will spend $35 to buy it physically. I'm that kind of person, you know? I'm one of the people who waits for physical.
Yeah, is it going to happen, though?
I don't know. It's like, it's Nintendo, so maybe not. Like, I still remember how I thought NES Remix would never come out physically, so I just bought it digitally, and then there you go, you know? So, I don't know.
I mean, I'll do both. I'll buy it digitally, and then when the inevitable limited run games version comes out, then...
Yeah.
I've already seen cases on Etsy and stuff like
that. I don't know. I especially for games that turn out to be really good, I always think that games are not going to come out physically, and then I finally bite the bullet. Like, I bought Oxenfree and Thimbleweed Park and all of these, and, you know, then they come out. I waited on Celeste, which was the good move there, because Limited Run did that. But I don't know. I like owning games that I really love, and I'm hoarding them now because it looks like the all digital future is gonna beat me up. Yep.
Oh man. Well, I look forward to playing more of this game and getting through Zone 2. I also unlocked a new character, which I played a little bit of Zone 1 again with him. But yeah, I need to play more other games.
Yeah.
Speaking of limited run games, next Pile of Shame Live is going to be Night Trap.
Ooh.
So that is what the polls and the unofficial votes have decided, which I was actually going to do until Battletoads came up. I haven't played Night Trap at all,
ever? Mind you.
So I just know about it ever. I just know about its history. I was going to buy a like a 32X version or something. There was some like Sega CD version.
Yeah.
But it was like 80, 90 bucks. I'm like, no. No. No, that's not happening.
Really? That was a pretty common game back on the Sega CD.
That's what it's called, what it costs now. I don't know.
Yep. So there's mine. Mine's still shrink wrapped, but I have I have played Night Trap before though. But I do want to play this version because it's got that like that trial game in, like what was it? Like the game that was used to sell the idea of Night Trap.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's built in, and I think there's some other special features that came from the limited edition. So I'm really looking forward to that. Did you get the same case art I did? I know the cover's reversible.
Yes.
Okay. So this is definitely the Sega CD re-release version of it, because the original one was like a drawing, which was a little more risque. So when they re-released it, they gave it this kind of case. I think it's very cool how Limited Run does both cases, and I love Night Trap, but I wasn't going to pay to have sealed copies of both art.
Right.
But some people, if you do that, that's fine, because you're a friend of mine, because even though that seems to be way more than I would spend on something like that, the fact that you're helping those people keep digital games going, I approve. I was given Night Trap on Switch for free by Doug. Really? Oh my! That's the sound of a bunch of Super Famicom games falling over behind me. I got Saturday Morning RPG and Cosmic Star Heroine for free from those guys to talk about on the podcast, which I did. I bought a blind box and got Night Trap. Oh, nice.
Trey's asking when Battle of Olympus is going to be. It's going to be probably later half of July after I'm back from Boston. And we released another not live video. But yes.
All right. But yeah, it's... Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing you try Night Trap for the first time. I originally played it on the 3DO, actually. I played it on the 3DO, and it's very interesting because, different versions of it were made for different systems, and they've re-recorded certain bits of the video to show, like, different game systems controllers and things. It's actually...
That's just wild to me.
The history of that game is amazing, and you know what? It's one I've never beat. But I've played it enough to get the Night Trap song, which really is my victory, because there is a Night Trap song that they sing. It's very meta within the game Night Trap.
Right.
Yeah, it's and of course the whole reason we got these games is due to Howard Lincoln, who told us that it would never be on a Nintendo system. Yeah.
So therefore it had to be.
Of course. Eventually. Of course. Now I'm just waiting for them to give a physical release to Final Fantasy VII to make that thing also become not true. They're like the depth and scope of Final Fantasy VII could never be put on a cartridge was like one of the things that they said. So I'm waiting. Come on, make it happen, Square.
The fact it's a soft version at all is enough, which I haven't bought yet. Wasn't that on sale? No, Final Fantasy IX was on sale.
I don't know. I'm planning to pick up Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, pretty soon. I never played XII, so I think I probably own a copy on PlayStation 2, but I'm looking forward to it. All right.
All right. Well, let's take a little break and look at the chat again, and then let's get set up for the next segment.
Okay. Great.
And now, a haiku by the M. Hat Mario. Wisconsin, Japan. Citrus guy, red glasses man. Drink Bokari Sweat.
All right, guys. Whew. Time for a little break. You know, when I get hungry, I like to eat Switch game cartridges. This is where a sponsored message would happen if we had any sponsors.
Right. This is where the cross network whatever. This is where we would play the 10 minutes about your favorite movie. One of the three. Yep. That we had put together.
Yep.
And I loved those stingers, man.
Oh, those were good. Those were good.
But then I think they outlasted the show. Like, I didn't realize the show was done.
Yeah, it ended shortly after I was the guest on there.
Huh. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. All right. Oh, let's acknowledge some of the people in the chat right now. Oh, I'm going to talk about Stormwood and Associates.
Oh, yeah. So since we don't have a network spot set up, we can just talk about that.
I think we should. Stormwood and Associates is a RPG podcast where they're playing... Wait, hold on. Am I thinking of the right one?
Yeah. I mean, why would I go there? I'm going to compare it right off the bat to The Adventure Zone.
Okay, yeah. I was trying to think of a way of not tying it to Maximum Fun, because it's its own thing. But yeah, it's similar to that, yeah.
I don't know what system they're using. Trey, what system are you using for that? But I've listened to, I think, 3 episodes. I want to say I am behind in all my podcasts. That's not a knock against Stormwood and Associates.
Yep. And I mean, you should listen to everything on the Nerd and Tie Network. And if you're like, I don't know about Nerd and Tie because I don't know those guys. Well, we've been on episodes of Nerd and Tie, and you can use that as your starting place.
In fact, if you look in the feed, there is an episode. There's a April Fool's episode that they hosted.
Yes, they hosted. They hosted. It was, you see, we're playing the long game here, so I mean, it was a teaser for the fact that we'd eventually join that network.
Exactly.
We play the really long game.
I mean, we did the same thing with Zach's No Top Rec Acquired podcast.
Yep.
Which is also no longer around. Rest in peace. But you know that the Powit Network was our first podcast network.
Yep.
Before Little Podcasts. Now we're on our third podcast network. We've killed two podcast networks. Sorry, Trey.
Let's read a couple comments. Let's see. Let's see. Daniel says, wait, it is on the Switch. Yeah, all the Final Fantasy games are on the Switch. Everything from 10 to, I guess, current skipping the MMOs are on the Switch now. So you've got 7. Soon you'll have the remaster of 8. 9's on there already. 10 and 10-2. Final Fantasy, well, 11 obviously not. But 12... the Zodiac Age, like it's the remaster plus the extra stuff that was in the international version. Never mind. You don't have Final Fantasy 13. But you know what? That's okay. And then there's the pocket version of Final Fantasy 15. So not my thing. I'd rather play the PlayStation 4 version, but. If you want something portable, that's there too. Yeah, lots of Final Fantasies.
Final Fantasy VII is currently $15. So that's not a sale price. That's the normal price, it looks like.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Like, I kind of want to download it, but I also I need to beat that last weapon, the underwater one, the green one. I haven't done yet. I got a gold chocobo, I'm pretty sure.
All right.
I play that game hard.
Okay. Daniel says, I'm telling you, the Switch is another golden age. Agreed. We'll do another cast on this one later, but my goodness, I've never bought so many new games at full price for any system since Dreamcast. Which I probably shouldn't compare it to, because most people wouldn't consider Dreamcast a golden age, but I did. Oh, man, I loved that thing.
Hey, Vink, open up the Ninja Mail Questions Discord thing.
Oh, yeah, good idea. Just a moment. I think we got away with it. I don't think anyone heard us.
All
right, Ninja Mail Questions. Okay, here we go. Let's see. I see a...
We're not ready to start, but I figured
okay.
Get that ready.
All right. Mario asked, hardest video game you've ever played?
I literally just said we're not ready to read them yet.
What? You're just about to read that?
No, I said we're not quite ready to read them. I just wanted you to have it open so that when we do start, we're both on the same page. Literally.
Oh, never mind.
Sorry.
We're not answering
I was still
question.
Looking at the chat. I just wanted us to be on this.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's okay, because this part's not going in the podcast, right? Yeah.
No, it's not.
And no one's hearing it except, uh-oh. Oh, no. We're live.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Okay. Oh, no. Guys.
Doug Walker here is
guys, just,
Doug, I know you're listening. Doug, I know you didn't steal my DS.
Wipe that from your memory. Wipe that from your memory.
Oh, Lord.
All right.
I think, so have we exhausted the live stream chat?
I think so. For now.
All right. Okay, so I think it now would be a good time to bring back the Denchi Mail segment. Like, bring it into the main show. We've tried this once before, but I don't think we've really stuck with it. But what helps is our Discord.
Yes,
which
Discord.
Everyone here who's listening should join. And you can ask us questions there, and then we shall answer them, such as...
All right. There's the timing. Okay. Mario asks, the hardest game you've ever played and games you have still yet to complete. Games I've still yet to complete, nearly all of them, and hardest game you've ever played. I mean, I guess anything I haven't completed. Hardest game. Gosh, I don't even know where to go with that one. Sean?
Boy, hardest? I mean, I just played Battletoads.
That's a pretty hard one, yeah.
Yeah, if it weren't for the save states, I mean, I was able to get that far without the save states, but it took a lot longer. And it's like, I would not want to relive that experience sans save states if I could help it. So I can actually start from that point and keep going.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I'd rather have a hard game that wasn't because the mechanics were, like, weird or bad or not, like, well explained, and I think that Battletoads has some problems from a mechanical standpoint, but, hardest game. Have you played Elite Beat Agents or Owen Don on the hardest level? I'm just putting that out there.
No, I have not. Okay. I play it usually.
You have to be in the zone.
Easy mode, yeah.
Oh, there we go. The amplitude of the frequency games, like, you know, being at the hardest level on that, that's even harder than Owen Don, because there's three buttons you got to push. You think it'd be easy, but it is the most rewarding thing, though, when you can get into that zone. So I was super stoked for the Kickstarter on PS4 and the released version there, and I'm hoping for more, but yeah.
Okay.
Just no. Should I go on to the next one?
Okay. We just got a donation. Let's shout that out real quick.
Oh yeah, let's do that.
Fox Mulder. I loved you in the X-Files. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the donation. Is there anything you want us to say or do, or you just love us for who we are?
Californication was also great. I'm just putting that out there.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Okay. Let's ask some more questions. Let's see. Game Apartment 1C asks, what's a console or game you've wanted to cover but have felt reluctant, hard-pressed to dig into?
Oh, boy.
I mean, I would love to talk more about the Wonder Swan, because I do have some good things, but like, if we're talking about covering it on the show, I haven't found a satisfactory way to capture anything from it, and just because of how the screen is set up, just holding my camera up to it doesn't look very good, and a lot of the games are purely in Japanese, but it's a system I'd love to cover more because I do love the Wonder Swan, and there are some gems, I just haven't dug into it enough. How about you, Sean?
I could just throw out, like, the Super NES and Super Famicom. We'll get there. We have scripts.
Yeah.
But, I'm going to say Virtual Boy. Do you know how hard it is to review the Virtual Boy?
That's...
Do you know how hard it is to find a working Virtual Boy these days?
Like, I don't want to cover the Virtual Boy right now because there's such a good series on it already that, what is it, it's Jeremy Parrish did. For his, it's so good that, like, and it covers everything that I'd want to say about it. So it's like, thank you, and well done. Just
man, it's all right.
It's called Virtual Boy Works. Look it up; it's fantastic. But it's too good, and it makes me not want to cover it.
Well, I mean, yeah, we promised part three of the Retro 3D special.
Yeah,
8 years ago, but that was the thing, right? Like, I know that Phil was slated to work on that, and the fact that it isn't done isn't his fault. I should point that out right away. But I know that he had filmed it before when he did like his Totaka song follow ups, because that was one of them was like Wario.
Yep.
I forget which game. And like, you know, he literally jammed a camera down the eye hole of a Virtual Boy, and so the footage isn't great.
Yep.
So I feel like if we do cover it, we're gonna have to emulate those games. Like,
probably.
There's no point in trying to, because it just won't work.
Yeah. Because I mean, I do have a Virtual Boy and I have all of the common games, but it's just filming it is rough. Maybe, but like, I don't like to. I never like to promote piracy or whatever, so maybe we'll do that, but like before I'll like show the physical ones, like I've got this.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah. Like Phil's got the entire collection except for like one game, which I look for that one game, which I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
It's probably Jack Brothers if it's the rare one for,
I don't think
either,
so.
Jack Brothers or like the 3D Tetris are the ones that are like a little, or Nestor's Funky Bowling, those are the kind of harder ones to get for the US. I doubt he has a complete Japanese collection, though. Some of those are like $2,000.
Satoshi says that there's a Virtual Boy VGA or S video mod that gives it. Well, you have to mod it, though. So you have to find one that works, and you have to mod it. Actually, no. If you mod one that didn't work, you don't need it to work then. If you can have the out.
That's true.
That's a good point.
All right. Frozen Pancake says, "Does the idea of moving house and packing all your stuff away fill you with terror?" Yeah. yes. I mean, completely. I mean, I mean, it was hard enough to get all these things moved from my old house when I had way less games. But like these shelves behind me were, I made the specification. They are Laserdisc sized, and they're built right into the wall to prevent from earthquakes or whatever. I mean,
nice.
But what? Don't laugh. This is real. but
well, the earthquakes are real. I'm, yeah.
The idea of like of moving somewhere else. I don't know. Maybe not. If I actually moved to a place that was bigger than a closet, perhaps it would actually be, you know, worth it. But yeah, I can never move. How about you? You've moved. You move like every other week, so.
Yeah, it feels like it. I think since 2013, I've moved 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, a big part of why we didn't wrap up season 2 when we did around 2012 when we did like Neo Geo and stuff, and we're about to record the Super Famicom episode was because we had to get the house ready to sell. So all my stuff went into the basement where I couldn't readily get to it. And I had a child. Yeah. So that kicked everything that was in my office out into the basement. So after we moved, I was like, all right, well, we're going to get it done then. And so that was like 2014. Yep. So yeah, the time marches on. Yep. I have a seven, that child is now seven and you know, things happen. So I'm not terrified anymore. Actually, I have things pretty well organized at this point. I just have to get them all in their home and then I can move around the space a bit better. Yep. But I'm okay. I don't think I have less stuff than I used to, but I can tell which stuff I care about and want to keep around.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, does it fill me with terror? Yes, it does.
All right. I got one for you from, Yumikojo Olek.
Olek. It's pronounced Olek.
Not Olek. When will be the next VinCon?
The next VinCon? Oh my goodness. I don't. You know what? I really.
There's a picture of the basketball covered in money.
Next year, I definitely want. I mean, maybe next summer. I'm hoping to make it to the States, and I'm hoping we could do another live something. I really do. I don't know. Maybe not at Broome Street Theater, but somewhere. I hope we can do something live.
Oh God, that was great.
That's actually so fun.
How we officially met Rob. Like I've known Rob and sort of met him before that, but that's when we got to like hang out with him and direct him.
Yep.
and that was cool because he's actually pretty good friends with some other friends of mine. So I wasn't like starstruck by the dude, but he's pretty freaking cool. But you know, I've seen him in Shad Vader, and I'd seen his plays and stuff that he directed.
Yep.
I went to like all of his boogies, like Christmas Boogie, and
all that
stuff. It was so good. He's a cool dude, and I'm sad that his podcast is over.
Yeah.
But yes, that was a great time. I would love to do a live show again. A shout out to Justin Shover for getting that set up and pulling us in and everything. He's actually the guy that got us into the little podcast network before things started going south there. Not due to anything that he did, but every once in a while, Justin will check in and I'll be like, hey, I got this great idea. Yep. And so.
My earthquake-proof Laserdisc collection. A sentence not uttered since 1992. Yes. Laserdisc is life. The rest is just lighter. All right.
So Tristan wasn't able to be here tonight, but as he is one of the reasons we're having this particular show.
No, he's here.
Oh, yep. Wasn't he is?
Yeah, he just wrote something in the chat. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, he left a question in the Discord.
Oh, well, read it.
Yeah. Would Vink go out and find people to interview for Famicom Dojo? Examples could be the woman from the Ultra Box, Hiroshi Fujioka, Sega de Santrio, etc.
I mean, it's if Patreon does a lot better. Do you know what I mean? Because nobody's in this area. Although I do have the opportunity. There's a group of developers in Fukuoka who actually expressed interest in me coming up there to do an interview. They do mainly eShop games. And Level 5 is in Fukuoka. That's not too far from where I am. I mean, but in general, to interview a lot of these people, you got to get to Tokyo or... The woman from Ultrabox, who knows? I'm guessing New York? For people who are not familiar with the woman from Ultrabox, please watch my live stream about Bomberman, because during that stream, just cut to about halfway through it, we eventually stopped playing Bomberman games and instead moved on to playing this dating sim where you are a Japanese man called, I'm not making this up, Turbo Honda. trying to win the affection of this lady from New York, and you win the affection by answering trivia questions about New York. it is one of the most amazing things we've ever done, and the most fun I've ever had on a live stream. Let me see if I can link that. Just a minute.
Oh my god! Because if you find her and are able to talk to her, if we can even get her on freaking Skype or whatever.
Yeah, she's got.
Would your wife have to translate? I don't.
I can't even. She would be so. I would guess she would be mortified if people had found her from. You know, just discovered her stuff. Just a minute. I will link.
It
you.
Has been 25 years or so since she did that.
Yeah, something like that. Here, let me.
Okay.
Let's see. It was recorded in 1990, so it has been
20. Oh my gosh, it's been almost 30 years.
29 years. It was one of the very, very early CD-ROM games. And I mean, would she be happy to know that half of our Discord icons are of her various facial expressions, or would she be mortified? Either way, there I put it. We'll link it. We'll link it in the show notes. But there's a link to that live stream. Again, it starts off going through games like Cho Aniki and the Bomberman games on PC Engine, which is entertaining in and of itself. But if you skip ahead to the Ultrabox portions, it's that's where everything really goes down. By goes down, I mean goes downhill fast. Okay.
All right. I think that's about it. We have some other questions, but I want to save some for another time.
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Okay. I don't know how to transition.
For people wondering where they can submit their own questions to the Discord channel, it would be in the Famicom Dojo section of our Discord channel under Denshi Mail Questions. Denshi Mail Questions. So submit them and they'll go in a future podcast.
Do you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail? Tweet us at Famicom Dojo with the hashtag Denshi Mail. Call us at 608-492-1923 and leave us a voicemail that we can play on the podcast or in a new video response. Leave a comment on this episode or one of our other videos. Or if you just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can even send us a link to your YouTube video to be added to our official Denshi Mail playlist. Head over to famicomdojo.tv/podcast for more details.
All right. Well, it's been a blast, everyone.
It really has. I've enjoyed this.
I'm glad we got to do this show. For those who weren't here for the pre-show, we had some trouble getting it set up quite the way we wanted to.
Yep.
And we also learned that Google Hangouts for Air will be discontinued in a month. So we had to figure out youtube.com/webcam or why the heck other things aren't working. Apparently we are being offered help with Discord to get set up with that, so we will potentially have that ready for next time. But we really want to get this working. We want everything to look as good as possible. We want to be able to talk about our piles of shame and at least stream a trailer for it or something while you're watching the live stream version anyway.
Or we can unbox stuff.
Or we could unbox stuff. In fact, I think maybe after the show, we'll unbox something. How does that sound?
Sure.
Awesome. If you guys are not watching the Spring Into Action series of videos that we've been putting out, please do. I put out this Pokemon one that nobody's watching for some reason.
I don't know. Everybody's I already caught one of those.
who has a Melmetal? Raise your hands. Virtual hands. I don't think I looked up videos for it afterwards. What are other people saying about this? And it's I finally got one and it took forever. It's I don't know, it took me a couple weeks, I guess.
If you're not subscribed to my channel, I've been doing some live streaming lately. It's just look for the YouTube user Vink. I'll put a link up there, and please subscribe to mine, because I have been streaming pretty much every week for the last month and a half, and I intend to keep that up if people are interested. So give it a like and hit that bell. Wow, I didn't think I'd be the type of YouTuber that said that.
And there you are.
Smash that like button or that subscribe button.
God, and, that annoys me so much.
And hashtag hash browns. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I get it. We have more coming, like I mentioned, more coming up this next month. We're going to try and do a Pile of Shame Live once a month.
Yep.
And then hopefully do more of these podcast streams, whether we do it before Hangouts goes away or whatever ends up happening.
Yep.
It'll be our pleasure to do that for you. But yes, keep watching this space. We are going to have lots more. Make sure you subscribe to Famicom Dojo on YouTube and anywhere else that you listen to this podcast. Yep. Now, again, on the Nerd and Tie Podcast Network. Our videos are there, too, if you're interested, as well as link to our Patreon. And they have some great shows, which you should absolutely listen to. And I'm on the Hall of Awesome, and I can never be taken down unless Trey changes the rules on us. So.
All right.
Speaking of Trey, he just donated. I guess that's part of being part of the network, as we get a regular super chat donations. I think that's how that works, right, Trey?
Yes, this is our salary. he evaluates us to see how good of a contribution we've made to the network, and we've done as good as 99 cents. Well,
now to be fair, he says he gets those for free for doing certain things. So that this cost him nothing.
Yes, that is true.
Sure, says Trey.
That is true.
Oh goodness. All right. So all right. We'll get to that in a minute. So we're gonna end the audio version of this stream.
Oh yes.
So I guess everyone, thank you again, and until next time, the dojo is.
Switching from Google Hangouts.
I guess we have to.
Yeah.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Theme songs One More Continue and RPG were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes or amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Sled Judson at lewisstrations.co.uk. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. Famicom Dojo.
Is that Polish? Is that a Polish sausage or is it like a German? I'm not sure what kind
it
of.
It sounds like a Polish word. I know a kielbasa. Kielbasa is Polish.
Kielbasa.
And I could really go for a kielbasa. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I almost had kielbasa today, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yeah, I had waffles instead.
Well, it's almost the same thing.